As promised, we are joined right now by the head basketball coach at Loyola University of Chicago. He is in his seventh season at Loyola, the Missouri Valley Conference Coach of the Year, led the Ramblers to a regular season and a tournament title this year. And again, they're going to the Final Four for the first time since 1963. Loyola v. Michigan, Saturday, 6:09 p.m. Eastern time on TBS. Porter Moser is my guest. Porter, it is so good to have you back. Good morning. How are you?
Jim, I'm great. I'm so happy you had me on, too. You've had me on every step of the way, and if you didn't have me on, I was going to call in.
Porter, you don't have to worry about that at all. It's become something of a tradition. In fact, quite a tradition for you to come on the program. So there was no way you were going to go to the Final Four and you were not going to get that call. I got to ask, what is life like for you and your team right now?
You know, Jim, it's almost surreal, you know, being from Chicago. You know, as a growing up here, I was born and raised here, just a diehard Chicago fan, and to see the city of Chicago embrace this team is unbelievable. I mean, you know, the city of skyline, or the city skyline, was lit up, "Go Loyola." And I remember the Cubs won the World Series, and it said "Go Cubs," and I remember just looking at that, going, "How incredibly cool is that skyline? It says Go Cubs," and it. And now here we are, and it says "Go Loyola," and it's just it's been, you know, I'm happy for the guys. Though, I'll be honest with you, when you're young in this profession, you're so career driven. You're like, God, I got to do this. And the older you get, I've been doing this 28 years, and you know, you're in it so much for the others and the guys. And to sit there and watch those guys, the confetti coming down, and they're on the podium with jerseys that say Loyola of Chicago, holding the regional trophy going to the Final Four. I was just staring at them. I didn't want to leave. I just wanted to hang out with them and watch them go through this. It'll be something that will connect them the rest of their life, you know, going through this.
You know, Porter, I'm sitting here in California, and I'm just amazed by the whole thing. I really am blown away by the whole thing. And for you to mention the Cubs, for the Cubs to win it was like the biggest thing ever in that town. And for you already to be mentioned in the same breath as them really speaks to how much it means and how you've captured the imagination of that city. I know you want to make it about your guys, and I want to ask you about your guys. But one thing about you, you and I talked about Rick Majerus, and you said how much you wish that he was here for this. But you were texting with Al Jensen, who you worked with back in the day, who's now with the Utah Jazz, about Rick the other day. So what types of things were you two talking about?
Well, you know, Al and I worked together, and, you know, he had shared one thought, you know, just make sure you keep routine and being normal, you know, because it can get so crazy. And I've reached out to some other coaches that have been to the Final Four, and, you know, everything is a learning process, and I just wanted to pick people's brains, anything that could help. And, you know, Al I think he's going to be an NBA head coach. He's with the Jazz, but he was with Coach Majerus so long, he was like a son to coach. And he just said, keep it normal, do the routines, the ballroom walkthroughs, everything, because everything else is not normal.
Right.
The whole Final Four, the hoopla, is not normal, and you got to try to keep it as normal as you can with your team.
We're talking to Porter Moser, the head coach of Loyola Chicago. I got to ask you about Saturday now. Going to that game against K-State, you had won three games by a total of 4 points. Then you come out and you smash a really good Kansas State team. So what was going through your head as you watched that game unfold?
You know, Jim, the one thing that those first couple games is we kind of came out shell-shocked defensively. And that's I had called the timeout, especially in the Miami game and the Tennessee game, the first 5 minutes. And I probably haven't gotten on my team as hard as I have in that moment in any time probably all year. And that's what happens when you got trust and love in the locker room and in the huddle, because they know how I feel about them. But when we kind of woke them up, think about this. Tennessee had 15 points in the first 4.5 minutes and ended up with 25 at half. So they had 10 the last. And then Nevada was the same way. They had 12 in the first 4 minutes and ended up with 24 at half. So what happened against Kansas State, and everything we kind of talk about with our guys, is defense dictates offense. And that's a big Rick Majerus line. And our guys from the jump were talking. They were noisy. You heard their shoes squeaking on the floor. They were moving together. And you could just see it grow their confidence on offense. When we were getting stops, we were running, moving the ball like we do. And you can see their confidence grow because their defense started out right out of the gate And then we just didn't start out of the gate the first two games defensively.
Yeah, but to that point, right, Porter, it goes back to culture. It goes back to trust and love, what you just mentioned. In fact, every time you come on, we've talked about the culture and the steps that you've taken to develop that culture. As I'm watching you guys play, the one thing that sticks out to me is the identity of that team. Your players know exactly who they are. They know exactly what and who the team is, and they don't seem to deviate from that. So when you get in these pressure situations, how valuable is it to have an identity that is that strong?
It's huge. I mean, it's huge. The belief in the locker room is one of the most powerful things in sports, and that's what you know. And I think all these teams believe, and so it's just not just that, but I think you know, our guys, it was really sincere at the podium when Dante Ingram hit that shot against Miami. He's up at the podium. And he says, you know, any one of these guys could hit that shot in our offense. I'm just happy it was me. You know, I'm grateful. The next game, Clayton Custer hit it. He said the exact same thing. Against Nevada, Marcus Towns hit that three. And then the fourth game, Ben Richardson has his career high, and he hit six threes. And it literally, truly was a different guy every night. And the guys buy into that. They buy into sharing it. And that has been our identity. I told them at the beginning of the year, you know, every team, every year, you know, you can say what you want your personality to be at the start of the year, but your personality doesn't really unfold until, you know, you start getting 10, 15 games into it. And we talked about that. You know, what's going to be your identity this year? And their identity is just a togetherness and a toughness. And they've embraced that unselfishness.
Porter Moser joining us, and to your point, and as head coach, it's got to make you so proud. Every single night, it's somebody different. Now, normally, when you haven't had the level of exposure on this big stage, it would be natural to be concerned about the moment and how big it might be and how big that stage might be. But because you've got a lot of upperclassmen, because they've got a strong identity, are you worried about how these guys might respond to what awaits them in San Antonio?
You know, Jim, there's nothing I can do to simulate what's about to happen, you know, in terms of the hoopla. But what I will say is, though, every step of our journey, there's been pressure. You know, even going to the conference tournament, everyone was saying we had to win it. And then after we won it, you know, we came back and there was a huge selection party. I mean, the hoopla on Selection Sunday was great, and then we had a whole week off to practice, and everyone was asking me, how are you going to bring these guys back to earth after winning the Valley Tournament? And then they came in, and they wanted more. I mean, I could tell, you know, just how we were talking and how the workouts were going. They wanted not just to get in this tournament. They felt they belonged. And then we won the first two, and then we come home to a hero's welcome, you know, a motorcade from O'Hare, everything. And everyone was asking me the same thing. How are you going to handle this? This is crazy going on. And they went into this part of it so excited and ready. They wanted more. And that, so all I can say is every step of the way, they've embraced the stage. They haven't shied away from it. They've embraced it because they've wanted more. Now, this is the biggest stage of all, so that's another step of it. But I can just tell you the way they are. I mean, every film session's been locked in, every practice. They just keep saying, no, we've had a mantra, no finish line. They want more.
In fact, they seem like they're built for it. I've heard you guys talk about that, no finish line, no finish line. What do you mean by that?
You know, after the first nine games of conference, the Missouri Valley has 18 games, and it's such a grind in that league. I mean, I really think that league is prepared us for this because every night the Valley is like an unbelievable defensive league, and it's really helped us on both ends. But after the first nine games, we were in first place, and I was asked the question about how does it feel going on the back nine being the one that's chased. And I just kind of said, you know, we don't look at it that way. We're still chasing. We haven't accomplished anything. We don't have any Missouri Valley banners. We don't have anything. We're still chasing. We don't have a finish line. And we kind of wrote it in the locker room and kind of drew it up, and the guys just have taken on this approach. We're chasing. No matter what anybody says, as someone's chasing us, you know, we feel we're chasing. We're chasing what we want, and I think that's just kind of been a mentality with the guys.
Porter Moser joins me for a few more moments. You know, you've been through some adversity before, and you said that one of the ways you get through it is with your family, and you were spending time with your family after the win over Kansas State. What's it mean to share this whole journey and experience with them?
My God, Jim. I mean, it's just crazy this how much it means. I got four kids. I got three boys and a daughter, and Andy Katz did a great interview on that's out there about my kids, and they interviewed him after the game. But I will say that's the funniest thing, because your life gets interrupted. My wife is like unbelievable, because all four of my kids are in sports, and I'm, you know, she's taking them everywhere. But I got a funny line I want to share with you. My 15-year-old son, So after the cutting down the nets, after everything, we're in the you know, it was about an hour and a half after the game. We're in the locker room. I come back from the podium for the media press conference. My son puts his arm around me and he says, "So, Dad, how's your day at work today?"
Great.
That's great.
That's great. Four kids. You know, Porter, I know I've got a couple of kids, and I'm sure your wife, Megan, is like my wife, Janet. There's no way any of this works without having a wife that makes that thing go, right? I mean, I've got two kids in sports, and that's a full-time job in and of itself. So what's it mean to have her support and the level of support you have from both your wife and your kids?
It's unbelievable. You have to have that. I mean, I've known so many coaches in the profession, and it's very tough because there's sacrifices and the demands and pulls and the pressures and the ups and downs. And that's why I sought her out, and that was the first person. And, you know, I went and I bear hugged. She's been with me through all this journey, and you have to have that unconditional love and the pressures of this level and the pressures in the amount of times you're gone, and you know, you got to balance. And but I will tell you this: there's been no mistake that I think one of the keys is balance, because I understand my number one roles are as being a father and a husband, and that has helped me do my role over here and balance me.
Porter, how do you do it, though? I mean, the fact of the matter is you grind. I mean, all coaches work hard. You don't get to where you are unless you grind and you work hard. How is it even possible to achieve that balance when you have the demands that you have from that job and then from your family and your life?
You know, I just always been, from when I was a player to this, is just, you know, kind of what makes me tick is just high energy. And I just have always been that kind of guy. And, you know, I feel like I love one of my favorite quotes of anything this entire time run is one of my, Ben Richardson said to a reporter, he said, you know, Coach Moser doesn't take days off. His energy is there every single day. You couldn't give me a better compliment, because I just think that's the way you got to approach it. I just can't stand self-pity. I can't stand bad body language. It's just tough for me to swallow. And I've just always been that guy that comes into practice, comes into the day feeling good. And you just got to have that mentality and makeup to start your day.
Hey, Porter, have you always been like that? Were you wired for that? Or at some point in your life, did you decide that's who I'm going to be?
I've always been like that. But I tell you, your journey, there's times that challenge you. You know, my whole situation in Illinois State, you know, there's times it knocks you down. I mean, I'm not going to lie but what the thing, if you keep grinding, is adversity doesn't have to define you. You know, that whole situation didn't define me. I reinvented myself, and that's why I like talking to coaches. You know, I always try to call guys that have been let go, because the next step of competitiveness, you're competitive in sports, is the reinvention can be another set of another area of competitiveness, of energy to reinvent yourself, and that's what I had to do. But I tell you, I went through a tough time. The grieving and part of adversity, that happens. That's normal. But what you got to do is fight back and not let it define you, and you can get better from it. And I'm better for what I went through. I wouldn't be standing here if that whole brutal adversity didn't happen to me in the profession, because it led me to Coach Majerus, which led me to Loyola.
I absolutely love that notion of reinvention. If, in fact, I don't want to jinx it, if, in fact, you win again, you come back on again, and that's where we start with this notion of reinvention. Or actually, no matter what happens the next time we talk, I want to ask you about that. Porter, I appreciate you. The story is amazing. Thanks for making time for the Jungle once again, and so good to have you back on. Good luck on Saturday.
Jim, I appreciate it, man. Thank you. Have me again.
I would love to have you again, Coach. Great job. Porter Moser, he is the best. Man, the energy, the enthusiasm. Man, just the swagger, the mojo, the juju, whatever you want to call it. He's got so much of it.